Welcome back to Download here on 720 WGN. Tonight, we welcome to the Download two of the members of the great Twin Cities-based indie hip-hop collective, Doomtree.
Well, I'm sure it's complicated, and I'm sure your story goes way back, but you're looking desperate lately, and now is not the time to look like that. I don't know if he did it, and I won't ask. There's a lot of good women with a lot of bad backs. He means it's something heavy, it already looks bad. Careful what you carry on his behalf, and I'm sure he's thinking of you too. Not the type to snitch and run, but sometimes they say it's the plain truth, 99 problems. Well, I don't need to know, but there's a set of my keys left under your door. If you need a place to sleep tonight, that's what family's for. I don't need to know, but I'd put on my best fresh little black dress, go get seen tonight.
Studio with me tonight, two of the members, Dessa and Paper Tiger. Dessa is a rapper, singer, poet, writer, and former philosophy major, and you can hear all those skills at work in her music. Paper Tiger is a producer, DJ, who's produced not only Doomtree singles, but some of Dessa's solo work, including his own. Both of their music can be found on their own record label, Doomtree Records, and they continue to be one of the strongest independent voices in hip-hop, and they are both in studio tonight. Dessa, Paper Tiger, thanks for being here.
Great to meet you.
Yeah, nice to meet you.
First off, it's interesting because you guys have had such a great run as a collective, yet you do so much great work independently as solo artists. Is there one that you prefer more than the other? Are you at a point where you're solo artist first and Doomtree members second?
I think in a lot of ways it's like the things that you can't get from a solo career, you find in collaboration and vice versa. I wouldn't want to eat, you know, pizza every day. Well, I might want to eat pizza every day, but I do feel like there are different parts of an artistic appetite that are met by both. Sometimes you want total artistic control, and then after you've had it for a while, you're pretty tired of your own control, you know? And it's nice to be prompted into a new kind of collaborative lane by the introduction of someone else's ideas, right, who you wouldn't have come up with in 100 years.
And Pete and I were talking about this before you guys came in, even. You guys, as I mentioned, one of the strongest independent hip-hop voices in our country. The Minneapolis scene has always been really, really strong because of what you guys have done, the collective. And then I think, and I'm like, well, the word independent has kind of changed in a way where now independent's winning Grammys, you know, in this way that's a different, like, you know, of having you both in studio and you guys have been a part of an independent hip-hop movement. What does independent mean to you guys?
I mean, I think that the business of being independent has changed a lot. And like you said, independent artists now do get genuine looks from the industry. Well, here at Chance the Rapper, you know, here in Chicago, obviously being, I think, one of the biggest and brightest stars of that kind of indie takeover.
Right.
But I think that the through line, at least for me, has been artistic control. Is that when you think you've got a really good idea, you know, you test it like a raft lashed together, you know, with found timber, and if you end up being really confident in it, if you're an indie artist, there is no executive whose permission you have to seek.
You're not looking for the single.
To head out.
You know, right,
or
right,
or
yeah.
Even if it's like, this is weird, I think this could be a single. Well, it's only a minute and 45 seconds. How on earth could that be? I don't know, dude. I think this could be the single. And you really get to try those ideas in the marketplace instead of being, you know, shut down by somebody in a suit who says, ooh, this doesn't test well.
For me, indie is doing things on our own terms, basically. Like, when and why we make music is up to us.
There's no collective contract or anything like that.
Being type A, I remember trying to draft up collective contracts, and I made a PowerPoint, and I got a whiteboard, and everyone was like, cool story, let's go get a beer.
You know, as being considered a quote-unquote collective, and how is that different from a band? What you guys do as a hip-hop collective different than a seven-piece R&B band or any other touring band that we might know?
We help each other out as solo artists, I think, first and foremost. And there's a lot of permutations within the group. Like, in a band, if you make a record with a band, there wouldn't be, you know, three songs without the drummer.
Right.
Necessarily. Like, we decide what a Doomtree song is based on how the form of the music comes together instead of relying on they all have to do this.
The construct.
Thing.
Yeah, right. Yeah, the exact. This is right. Right.
You know, I think there had been maybe three or four moments in Doomtree's history that had really tested what my understanding of what the collective meant. Even when, Paper Tiger, who's also a graphic designer, he put together like a hardcover book. And we wrote, trying to figure out how to get that made into the real world. You know, it was like these candid photos from 10 years or so of touring together, and realizing like, okay, well, if we have a book, then I guess the Doomtree Collective is a publishing house, you know, and if you have a ballet, then now we're a dance troupe. I think it was Sims finally who had said, I think the Doomtree just is whatever we say it is that's helpful for the members of Doomtree. It really is kind of a fluid entity that exists to help share the work that we believe in.
You know where they use the word collective, and it probably applies, is artists. You know, there'll be artists who, they're a certain collective, and they don't necessarily collaborate on the same painting, but they share the same aesthetic, and they put things. So maybe it's more in that form than it is the idea of a structured formal band.
Totally. Mm-hmm. And I think it's also vouching loosely for one another's stuff, meaning, you know, when Paper Tiger has an EP coming out, that I'm looking out for that and sharing news of that release, and he's going to do the same for me.
Dessa and Paper Tiger in studio, two of the members of the great Twin Cities-based indie hip-hop collective Doomtree. They were just in town playing Wicker Park Fest, also had a show sold out at Subterranean. I mean, you guys must come through Chicago a lot. I mean, as you tour throughout your career, how's the relationship like when you're a Twin Cities-based hip-hop collective coming to Chicago? Is there any competition when you, you know, like you have a scene, Chicago has a scene? How do you share the stage in that regard?
I felt like it was actually, this was one of the hardest, like, musical communities. I felt, what's that movie with John Keaton? The Say Anything? I felt like we were in the rain for a long time. I felt that way. Like, come on, you know? And then I felt like once we got it. This now feels like a really welcoming, comfortable second home away from home.
Why do you think it wasn't back then? Just it was more territorial?
I mean, maybe it's the case that there is a really healthy scene here, so rap is not an import. You know what I mean? But I think also, you know, it's a big city and eager to be impressed. Mm-hmm. At the same time, though, I felt like even New York and L.A. were a little easier, at least from my perception, than Chicago. What was yours, Paige? Well,
I also think that somehow due to, like, our fan base, like, the cultural sector that we operate in isn't necessarily, it's just sort of like the hip-hop scene of whatever city
we're in
competition with, or, like, the hip-hop scene comes to us. Our fans are kind of from all over the place. You know, a lot of people will come up to us and say, I don't really listen to rap, but I love Doomtree, you know, and
so you're playing in a different ballpark.
Yeah, we're kind of like our own thing, and I think our fans are kind of into that too.
Well, I always think about it in Chicago, and it's changed over time, but Chicago was always known as the backpack hip-hop here, and socially conscious, and you had Common and other places. Yeah. I don't know much about, except for the great artists that, you know, whether it be you guys or Rhymesayers or the others that have come out of Minnesota hip-hop. What is the feel, the ethos that comes off of a Twin Cities hip-hop scene?
I think that it might be that Paper Tiger and I have different responses on this, but I would initially say that, whereas I think you have like this brand in Chicago, this really politically conscious rap, whether it's, you know, Lupe or Common. Whereas I feel like in Minneapolis, when the indie hip hop scene there really started becoming fertile and growing, that it was a do no harm brand of conscious rap instead of a, like, let me talk to you about the political rally. Yeah, right, you know what I mean? Next month. I think it was more focused on introspective, like, personal lived experience. I feel like it was a more kind of first-person testimonial as opposed to agenda-based, conscious-raising rap. Lyrically, obviously.
Yeah, I think lyrically, I agree. Yeah. Mm-hmm. For me, on more of the music side, I come from not just a specifically hip-hop upbringing. I listened to and was involved in a lot of different types of music. And I think, similar to the same way Chicago is, for us growing up in Minneapolis, we found musical influences from both coasts. We weren't listening to just one side or anything. So all these things kind of mashing together, it felt different, and it felt indie in nature, just the fact that we're kind of like taking all these different influences together and making our own thing. Just kids in basements.
You live in Brooklyn now.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, can you tell the difference? I mean, when you're in New York City and you're in Brooklyn, can you say, as a musician, as more of a producer than a lyricist, can you tell the difference between a sound that might be from the Midwest, that might be from Minneapolis, and a sound that someone produced right down the block in Brooklyn?
I think I used to more years and years ago, but the way that especially music and art works on the internet and social media, it doesn't need to be from anywhere.
Yeah, right.
You know, it's just sort of, it's that person's output.
You know, it's funny because I as a knee-jerk reaction to hearing a new rap album that I like, and like Paper, I listen to a lot of varied stuff, but if I hear a rap record that I like, my first instinct is to go, where is this from? But I realize that I don't care anymore what the answer is. I just can't. It's just that's my reflex. Yeah.
And it's so funny because I was just watching The Defiant Ones on HBO, and that was all about place. You know, that was about this. We had a sound in the West Coast rap and Dr. Dre and NWA, and that was about a certain time and place. But you're right. Maybe place is kind of fading away when it comes to hip-hop and music in general.
I think it was really important when we started Doomtree, and I think it's why we sound the way we do. But I would imagine that if we started it today, it would be a much different translation, just given how accessible things are.
Also, I'm like more interested in ethos than geography as a binding factor. Mm. Like, I like that person's sense of humor, value, whatever. That's more interesting glue to me than like zip code.
And you wonder how much place affected that ethos, especially in the maybe like early times, because you would have that this town was more accepting of a Lupe Fiasco because it fit into, but that has changed. I mean, think of all the different artists that come out of Chicago now that don't sound anything like the politically conscious rap.
And I think, you know, initially there's an underdoggery in starting in Minneapolis, in part because your big hope when you throw a show isn't that a dude in a light gray suit is going to walk in the back and pull a contract out of his attaché.
Right.
You know, your big hope is for like free drinks all night. And so there is this very DIY ethic, and I think there's a lot of permeability in our genre designations because of that. So I think one of the things that differentiates Minneapolis from Chicago, at least 8 years ago, obviously I'm not from Chicago, so I'm not, my finger is not on that pulse as readily, but was the genre blending. So like in Minneapolis, it's not unusual to share stage with a punk act and then like, you know, a folky rock outfit and then a rap act. But I remember realizing, I don't know if that'll work here, after somebody had to, I think it was Cecil, had to duck a projectile. So.
Sure. Projectiles usually will be the way people
strong
tell
feedback.
You. Yeah, that's the feedback. That's before feedback. Before Twitter.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
You know, as we wrap up here, I'm interested because both of you as artists, and I would ask all the Doomtree Collective, but you have had the opportunity together to evolve as Doomtree, but also as solo artists. And I'll ask you both individually how you see that happening. For you, Des, I listened to the last solo record, it's a lot of singing.
Yeah.
You know, it's a different kind of sound than some of the Doomtree stuff that I had known. You know, and I think about that's just probably a basic evolution of you as an artist. And I'll ask you the same thing of you, Paper Tiger, and the remixes and the things that you do. How have you both evolved over the years being in Doomtree, and how has it affected you as artists?
I think part of it is when I joined Doomtree, I knew what I didn't want to be perceived as, to be honest. So I knew that very often a woman on stage with a rap group would be perceived as the hired vocalist who sang the choruses. So for the first few years of my career, I didn't want to sing too much because I was worried that I would be relegated to kind of a second class citizenship in the collective. And then by the time my most recent record came out, I was like, I like singing. I like harmony. What are you going to do? So, you know, spend the next 20 years making sure somebody doesn't think that you're the girl who sings hooks, you know? So for me, I think it's probably about becoming confident within this group of friends and fellow musicians to try the music that I'm interested in. And it, I think, has taken their friendship and their, and the collaboration to feel comfortable exploring new terrain.
Yeah, I think the same, too. It's been 15 years now that we've been actively making music together. So just in that, there's so many factors. There's like the factor of technology that has just changed how I actually make things on a production side. And I always think of this thing that Beak always talks about when he talks about how we first started. We were very like, let's make a hip-hop group and be like super, super hip-hop. And we were making things thinking like we're doing like straightforward hip-hop. We're going to be part of this. And everyone's like, you guys are so weird. Why?
Innovative stuff.
Yeah,
how did
like
you think?
This, and we're like, no, it's just like, it's just rap. We're just making rap. I think that we were consciously trying to make things, and I think as, you know, throughout the years, we've gotten a lot more comfortable saying, this is what we think rap is.
Yeah.
And as a collective and a solo artist as well, like, I think that I've been more open to taking in some of my other influences and putting them into my output.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Awesome to have you guys here tonight. Paper Tiger, Dessa, two of the members of the great Minneapolis-based indie hip-hop collective Doomtree. They were just in town for Wicker Park Fest, and we'll continue to follow your careers. And hopefully when you guys come back to town, you come back in studio.
Thanks, and I'll see you at Riot Fest.
Oh, you're going to be at Riot Fest. Yeah. That's awesome.
Thank you so much for having us.
Thank you for being here.
I haven't met a locked door yet that I couldn't beat. On a chain around my neck, I keep my skeleton key. Don't waste your worry on me. I always find what don't wanna be let in. Don't waste your worry on me. I always find what I need. I come and go as I please. I've got my skeleton key.